It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Continuing our live coverage of Hurricane Ian as it's starting to come on shore in Florida. Last check, wind speeds maintained at 155 miles an hour, wind gusts to 190 miles an hour. And does it say up there on MSNBC's coverage that it is moving? What's the movement, Dave? I can't see that number. It's 9 miles an hour?
Yeah, north by northwest, okay. 9 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, wind gusts 190 miles an hour. Again, the big sustained winds, 155 miles an hour. We've been following WGUF in Florida all morning long. Here's a little bit of their live broadcast.
43, so our time right now is 12:21. I'll extend this out to 120 minutes, so that would be the next 2 hours. And again, we're tracking just this portion of the eye wall. That gets into Matt Lachey, as I mentioned here, 1243. Englewood at 121, so that's about an hour from right now. South Venice at 149. Ernst Storm Arena at 152. Venice at 206. And Northport at 217. So let me go ahead and repeat that one more time if you're listening on our radio partners across the FM dial here.
Those are the exact times that they will see the most intense parts of the storm pass through some of these cities.
In Tampa Bay, Dave and I watched video of the bay. It just got sucked out into the ocean, the water getting sucked out into the ocean, as meteorologists there refer to this as a monster storm.
I don't use the word monster often. It's a monster. When you get this type of storm approaching such a populated area in Southwest Florida, this is going to be an issue.
Debbie, joining us right now, Brian Stinson from Emergency Management Preparedness, Be Ready Utah. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on again.
I know this is thousands of miles away, this massive storm in Florida, but can you give us an idea, since you guys have all been through so much training over the years, what kind of preparation are the citizens, the regular people doing, and then, you know, what's the government's role preparing for such a massive storm?
Well, In any kind of emergency you're preparing for, you always want to make sure that you're taking care of your basic needs. The people that are in the path of the storm, obviously, if they've been told to evacuate, you need to do that as soon as possible. You always want to pay attention to what the authorities are saying and what the weather forecasts are saying.
Is there too late to evacuate? Like, at what point do you just have to hunker down?
Yeah, I'm watching. Brian, I am watching video, and I've been watching it all morning long, of this Sunshine Skyway Bridge in Tampa, Florida. And boy, if this thing survives those rising waters, I would be shocked. But, I mean, that's, you know, so I think to Dave's point, you know, when is it too late for people to start getting out?
Well, again, you want to make sure that you're following the attention of or paying attention to what the authorities are telling you, that you've got to get out when they tell you to. If not, you're going to be on your own. Now, if you are there, you know, they're going to have things like storm surge and high winds, those kinds of things. You want to make sure that you're following all the directions of flooding. You don't want to be crawling up into your attics because you could be trapped in there and you won't be able to get out. But fortunately, here in Utah, we don't really have to worry about things like hurricanes. But we do have things like microburst winds, and we do have severe thunderstorms. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, we had some severe thunderstorms here in Utah. And things that we can do here in Utah, again, you want to listen to the authorities, listen to what they're telling you to do. And if you are caught in the storm, seek shelter immediately, preferably go indoors if you can. You don't want to be caught out there in those high winds. There could be things flying around. You could be hit with that. There's a lot of times large hail in things like this, lightning. So you want to get into a shelter. Hunker down for that. There's a good possibility you could have power outage. So you want to make sure you've got working flashlights, that you've got battery-operated radios, so you can continue to listen to what is going on with from the weather forecasters and other authorities. But then after it's over as well, the hazards are not over. Even here in Utah, when we've had the high winds, there's things like down power lines, there's fallen trees, these kinds of things that you need to be careful with even after the winds and everything are gone. So if you are going outside afterwards, stay away from the down power lines. If you see them, keep other people away from them and report them immediately, because those can be killers as well.
Brian Stinson from Be Ready Utah is joining us right now. What can the government do at this point? Do you just have to wait out a lot of the storm and then they come in? What's their role right now?
Well, are you talking in Florida or here?
Yeah,
in Utah,
kind of in Florida. I wonder, like, sometimes inaction is as frustrating as anything, but I'm not sure how much more. What can the government do? What's their role right now?
Well, being from Utah, I'm not 100% sure what the role of the Florida government is. I know that all emergencies and all disasters, they start at the local level. So the local city and county, those are the ones that are the primary responders to these kinds of things. And then beyond that, they have to request help from the state. Mm. The state can't just, and the federal government can't just come rolling in. They need to get that those requests from the local government.
And we know that Governor Ron DeSantis days ago did get the request into the White House, and it was granted. We know that he's also called up 5,000 National Guard troops. Brian Stinson, Emergency Management Preparedness Specialist. I just want to talk briefly about power outages. It looks as though from the power outage predictor maps that I've been reading, that Fort Myers, which is known for its aging population, could, according to predictions, could be out of power for weeks. This makes me nervous for the elderly population that lives there.
Definitely. Yeah, when you've got an elderly population, you've a lot of times have medical devices that are reliant on power. This is one reason it's good to prepare for an emergency rather than just reacting when the emergency hits, especially if you have particular medical needs like that. You want to have generators that will be sufficient to power the devices that you need for your survival, not to mention, you know, just keeping your pickles from going bad in your refrigerator. Yeah. But you also want to make sure you have working flashlights. I mean, I think about how many times do I have a flashlight that's been sitting in a drawer for a long time and it goes bad. Check your flashlights periodically. Make sure that they are functional. Don't just have them in the drawer, in the junk drawer in the kitchen, but make sure that you've got one next to each bed as well, because emergencies happen during the night. So you need to have working flashlights next to your bed. Again, I talked about powering devices for your safety, but you also want to make sure during lightning storms, those kinds of things as well, that you may need to power down devices in your home, because if there is a catastrophic power failure in your area, some of your things, if they're not surge protected or turned off, could affect your electronics as well.
Brian Stinson, thank you for joining us, Emergency Management Preparedness Specialist at Be Ready Utah.
I bought a power bank for my cell phone recently, Dave. It's supposed to keep my cell phone charged for like 12 hours if the electricity goes out. Because I thought, that's my lifeline. You know, you live alone or you are up there in years and you want to make sure you can reach out for help. Having that extra battery pack that is not reliant on electricity just gives me peace of mind. Straight ahead, we're diving right back into politics on the local front, and a rapping politician who has, she's gotten a lot of publicity.
Let the rap battle begin!
The rap battle begins next.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.